So back in college, I learned a really important life lesson from watching one of my close friends. And that lesson is, you can be right and still be wrong. You can be right and still be wrong. So what does that phrase mean? Well, it means that sometimes we can be right in our convictions and our beliefs, but sometimes we can be wrong in how we talk about those convictions, those beliefs, and how we live them out. So let me give you an example from the life of my friend that I saw. My friend was a person with strong convictions and beliefs who was unafraid and actually quite bold in talking about or defending his convictions and belief, which is not really a bad thing, is it? However, I also watched my friend sometimes push people away by the strength of his convictions, by the heat that he expressed in he was talking to them about what he believed and what he felt was right. So the way my friend expressed his beliefs and convictions didn't give room for people to disagree with him. Though my friend was often right in what he believed and said, the way he said it was wrong. At times he alienated people. At times he shut people down. At times he pushed people away, because he did that to me on occasion when we would have discussions. I don't think he intended to do so, but he did, because he was really, really committed to what he believed. He thought it was important no matter what. So you know somebody like that? Does somebody come to your mind when you think about the person I just described? Somebody who was right but also wrong? Someone who believes the right stuff but expresses it in a way that hurts others or pushes them away or shuts them down rather than invite dialogue? I think we all probably know somebody like that, somebody who may be coming to our mind right now as I describe that. And maybe that someone actually is you. Maybe God's ringing your bell this morning about that. That maybe is who you are. You can be right and still be wrong. And I bring that up because the story that we're looking at this morning in the journey through the book of Acts, in Acts 15, is the story of two guys who were both right and two guys who were both wrong in what they believed and then in what they did. They're both right in their convictions and beliefs, but because neither one would give in to the other or change or compromise, they parted ways, they broke up, they separated, they stopped working together in ministry. So I think sometimes we can be like these two men, Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15. We can. In our commitment to the truth and to our beliefs and convictions, we can alienate others, we can sometimes push them away, we can shut people down. Like Paul and Barnabas, we can be right, but sometimes when we are right, we can also be, what's the word? Wrong. We can be wrong. So today's story then reminds us that as God's people, we need to be careful. We need to be careful that how we express what it is that we believe and how we live out what it is we believe, that we're not the kinds of people who are wrong in what it is we say, or wrong in how we say it and how wrong in how we live it out. So let's read Paul and Barnabas' story, because I think we want to be people who do these things right in terms of what we believe and how we live our life. And I think this is especially important in today's culture, because have you noticed the hostility of the culture around us in terms of the uncivility, in terms of how people are talking to each other, how often even in the media and then the public discourse, people are getting angry with one another and we sort of have lost civility. So what we're talking about this morning, friends, for all of us is really, really important. So Acts chapter 15 in our journey through the book of Acts, beginning then at verse 36, here's what it says. So after some time, let me pause right here and say that's one of Luke's transitions phrases that he uses when he writes his letter, or writes his book, excuse me, that it's a transition from the previous story to this story. So the previous story, if you look at earlier in the book of Acts, is the Jerusalem Council, where the big decision was made, is it grace or is it works? Are we saved by grace or are we saved by works? So that was resolved. And now we go on to the next section in the story of the church in the book of Acts. So after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing." In other words, Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back to those places that we preached where the church got started. Let's see how those churches are doing. Let's see how those believers are doing. Let's even spend some time and strengthen them in the faith. So Barnabas agreed with Paul, but he wanted to take along John Mark. And here it is, friends, verse 38. But Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, and as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Then he traveled throughout Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches there. So when I read this passage, which I read a lot in my life, you know, when I read this passage, I kind of cringe. I kind of say, ouch. I mean, Paul and Barnabas, these are two spiritual leaders, two spiritually mature Christians. And yet here they are, they're getting into, honestly, can I say the word fight? Into a major disagreement with each other, which sort of lets us all sort of understand that sometimes Christians like Paul and Barnabas, sometimes mature Christians, even leaders in a church, can disagree with each other. Is that right? Well, let's talk more about through the story and see the answer to that question. Luke writes that Paul and Barnabas, they had a disagreement that was so sharp that they separated. The phrase so sharp or the disagreement that we're talking about here is a Greek word in the New Testament, which is only used here in this one space, this one place in the New Testament. It's used in the Old Testament, in the Greek version of the Old Testament, called the Septuagint, in Deuteronomy 29 and Jeremiah 39. And it talks about God's burning anger, God's fierce anger towards sin. So what Luke is saying here is that, and he writes this, is that Paul and Barnabas had such a sharp disagreement that they were really, really hot. They were really kind of upset with each other. So I think maybe even raised voices, perhaps even shouting, red face towards each other, frustration with each other, that they couldn't come to the same place in the conclusion about what to do with John Mark. And what was the source of that disagreement? Again, whether to take John Mark with them on their second missionary journey. So what was Paul's view? Well, Paul's view was that the mission was more important than John Mark. Paul felt that John Mark had gone AWOL. In fact, Luke writes that he had deserted them while they were on their first missionary journey. He was absent without leave. So to Paul, John Mark shouldn't be taken because he had failed in the first mission. He was unreliable. He was too much of a risk to the mission. To Paul, nothing, no one was more important than the mission. Nobody. And so John Mark should not be allowed to go on their second missionary journey because he had failed in the first missionary journey. The mission was more important than the person. You know, in the next day or so, there'll be lots of movies on TV that have kind of war themes. If you look in your cable, you watch TV, you turn it on, you'll see that. I sort of see those sometimes at this time of the year. In fact, it's usually the time of year I try to even watch this movie, Saving Private Ryan, a great movie that was made many years ago by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg. And in that movie, there is a scene where it's Tom Hanks, who's Captain John Miller, with his sergeant. They're sitting in a bombed-out church, and they're talking about the mission, talking about the importance of the mission, and how leaders have to sometimes make decisions about, well, is this mission worth it? What's going to happen with the cost? How many men is this mission going to perhaps cost? And they talk about then the tension, the struggle. Well, we know it's going to cost some men's lives to go on this mission, but ultimately, it's going to save lives. It's going to save lives. So it's the struggle and the challenge between the mission and men. The mission and men. Here we see in the discussion, or in Paul's view, the mission was critically, critically important. The mission was more important than any one person, John Mark included. And so that's why he said, John Mark should not be able to come with us because he has failed in the mission the first time. He doesn't get a second chance. But Barnabas had a different view. Barnabas was sort of acting out who he was, because you know what Barnabas's name was? It really wasn't Barnabas. Barnabas was his nickname. His real name was Joseph. He was given the name Barnabas because that was sort of a code word or a nickname for the son of encouragement. So wherever Barnabas went in his life, he was an encourager. He was somebody who included people, helped people. He was a bridge builder between people. He was a guy that gave grace to everybody else. And so in Barnabas's view, even though John Mark had made a mistake, even though he had done something he shouldn't have done, he still deserved a second chance. He still deserved the opportunity to go on the mission. So who was right and who was wrong? Was Paul right about the importance of the mission? Was he? The answer, I think, is yes. Paul was right about the mission. The mission was critically important and the need to take reliable, good team members along. That is right. But also, was Barnabas correct? Was his view right as well? And I would say, yes, he was right as well. John Mark, like everybody else, made a mistake, and like everybody else, needed to experience grace and forgiveness. So, we look at the situation. Both Paul and Barnabas were right. But also, I believe that Paul and Barnabas were wrong. They're wrong because they allowed their disagreement to end their ministry partnership. Their disagreement broke up their fruitful ministry and friendship, which sometimes happens even in ministry and even happens in the life of the church and other places as well. Sadly, sometimes conflict leads to separation. So was Paul and Barnabas' breakup God's will? Could we chalk this up to say, well, God wanted this, God chose this for Paul and for Barnabas? Before you answer that question in your mind, think this through with me. We need to understand Paul and Barnabas' partnership. Paul and Barnabas, for the previous 5 years of their lives, were nearly inseparable. If you go back in the book of Acts, you can actually see the details of their relationship. When Paul became a believer and he went down to be with the apostles in Jerusalem, it was Barnabas which went and put his arm around Paul, and he said to everybody there, "This man is one of us." Barnabas was being Barnabas. He was being the son of encouragement. He was vouching for Paul that he was a believer. He was not the persecutor that he once was. He was now a believer. And so there, I think Paul and Barnabas probably had this great connection. And then when the church in Antioch got birth and these people were becoming believers and the church in Jerusalem sent up folks to see what's going on up there, they sent Barnabas to do the investigation. And when he got there, he saw these new believers and he said, "We need to have somebody who can teach them the word of God." And what did Barnabas do? He said, "I know somebody who would be great for that, Paul." And so he left Antioch. He went up to Tarsus where Paul was living at the time and he brought him back. And it says that for 1 year, Paul and Barnabas taught the believers in Antioch about Jesus and about the way of God. So they were co-teachers in this church in Antioch. And then they had the idea they needed to go on a missionary trip together, that the church leaders came up with that idea along with Paul and Barnabas. So they sent Paul and Barnabas out for 2 years. They journeyed together as they went to Cyprus, then up to Turkey and back again. And during those 2 years of that missionary journey, they experienced intense persecution. Town and city after city where they went, they had some response, but they also had some pushback and some persecution. And if you remember, in one of those cities, they were run out of town. And another city, they took stones and they threw the stones at Paul, thinking that they killed him. And Barnabas was part of that. Barnabas was there. For 5 years, they were inseparable. And for 5 years, they had this intense ministry partnership. And then it came to an end. It came to an end over decision about John Mark. So keep that in mind. But here's something else to keep in mind, and that is what Paul wrote himself in Romans 12:18. He says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Read those words with me. "As if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." So what do these words say? As far as it depends on whom? On you, not the other person, but as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In other words, do all that you can to resolve conflict with others. Don't let conflict destroy relationships. Work at relationships. Work at conflict. Live at peace with everyone. And ironically, Paul is the one who wrote these words. He wrote them about 7 years or so after this breakup with Barnabas occurred. And I wonder that as he wrote this part of his letter to the Romans, I wonder with the pen in his hand if he thought about Barnabas, about what had happened in that relationship, that as he wrote these words, God brought that relationship back to his mind. So put these two things together, Paul and Barnabas' five-year partnership in ministry and Romans 12:18, and I would say, no, I don't think it was God's will that Paul and Barnabas break up the way that they did. That was not the will of God. That's not the way God wanted their partnership to end. I would say that if God wanted them to stop working together, he would have chosen a different way, a better way, a more honorable way to bring their partnership to an end. You see, because as I said earlier, you can be right, and yet you can still be what? Wrong. You can be right, but you can also still be wrong. And that's what these men were. But here's where the greatness of God and the grace of God steps into Paul and Barnabas' breakup, and perhaps even to our own breakups as well, and when we have conflicts with people. God is bigger than our conflicts, and he can bring reconciliation to broken relationships, and he can bring new birth out of dead things. Do you know what happened to these men after the breakup of this relationship, of their ministry partnership? What happened to Paul? What happened to Barnabas? We know what happened to Paul because the rest of the book of Acts tells the story of what happened to Paul. We'll be looking at that in the weeks and the months ahead. Unfortunately, we don't know much what happens to Barnabas after this story because this is the last reference we have in the book of Acts to Barnabas, to what happened to him, even though he was such a prominent player for about five chapters just leading up to this in the book of Acts. This is the last that we read or hear about Barnabas in Acts. But, buried in Paul's letters in the New Testament, we see some references that are about Barnabas and also then about John Mark, written years after this incident, after the situation. In 1 Corinthians 9:6, Paul talks about Barnabas with respect, about how hard he worked. Then in Colossians 4:10 and 2 Timothy 4:11, he talks about John Mark, probably some of the last words that Paul wrote before he passed away, the last letter that he wrote in 2 Timothy. He writes in Colossians, "Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings, and so does Mark, Barnabas' cousin. As you instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way." And I love what it says here in 2 Timothy 4:11. Paul writes, "Only Luke is with me, so bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry." See, somewhere in the history between Acts 15, the breakup of the relationship, and Paul writing these words towards the end of his life, there was a reconciliation that occurred between Paul and Barnabas, between Paul and John Mark. I wish the Bible would tell us how that happened, because it would sort of be a manual for how it is you put broken relationships back together. Wouldn't it be some great teaching from the Bible? But I imagine this. I imagine that they repair their relationship the same way that we repair relationships as Christians. And that is that we begin with prayer. I would imagine after they parted the ways that they did, I would think the conviction of the Holy Spirit was upon both of them for how they ended their partnership. And I would think that along the way that God spoke to both of them as they prayed about their relationship. And also, I would think there was sort of this conviction which said, you know, there's some things in this relationship that I need to own. In humility, I need to recognize my contribution to the breakup of this partnership and this relationship. And then perhaps there even was maybe a mediator, a friend who came in between them to say, "Paul, get back with Barnabas. Barnabas, you know, you really should get back with Paul in some way." And then some distance and time probably brought that all to a good relationship. And so I think we see here is ways that we can also work in our relationships as well through the story of Paul and Barnabas, reading a bit into the story, but I think that's part of it. But what about John Mark? What about John Mark? Well, that's one of the greatest stories of redemption and change in the New Testament, because we read here in Acts 15 that John Mark went off with Paul on the missionary journey. We see that. And then somewhere along the way, John Mark became a close friend and assistant to Peter, so much so that John Mark became the author of Peter's gospel. Do you know there is a gospel of Peter in the Bible? It's not literally called Peter's gospel. It's called the gospel of Mark. But Peter is the source for what Mark wrote. It really is Peter's gospel. It's recorded, though, by Mark. It came from the voice and the experience of Peter. We see that in all kinds of evidence in that gospel. And not only that, when Mark, later on in his ministry, he went down to Egypt. And if you go to Egypt today, you'll see church after church after church that is called St. Mark's, or Mark this, or Mark that, because Mark was the apostle who brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to Egypt. And it's all because, I believe, there was a man named Barnabas who saw Mark not as a loser, not as a dropout, not as somebody who failed, but he saw Mark as somebody who was a man whom God could use, a man whom God could redeem, a man that had great hope for his future. And so, friends, the story that we're looking at this morning, the story of Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, it's a story in Acts 15 that has something in it, I think, for every one of us. It's a story about the importance of mission and of grace and of second chances, of pain and conflict and loss, and how God redeems broken relationships and makes dead things new. But to me, the biggest point of this story is that you can be right and you can still be wrong. And that I need to be a man of grace. I need to be a man of grace who gives second chances. I need to be a man of conviction who's committed to the mission. But I also need to be a man of grace and of forgiveness and kindness towards others. I need to be like Jesus. Because in John's gospel, in John 1:14, what does it say about Jesus? Look at what it says. Read it with me. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and full of truth. Full of mission, full of conviction, full of belief. But also full of what? Of grace, of forgiveness, of second chance. Jesus held those things in a great balance. He was both man of grace and truth. And I want to be that way. I never want to be right, but also wrong at the same time. Let's pray. So, oh God, thank you for this great story, for showing us that Paul wasn't perfect, and Barnabas wasn't perfect as well, that even, Lord, godly Christian leaders sometimes make mistakes. That's encouragement, Lord, to all of us, because we make mistakes, every one of us here in this room. So help us to learn from them, from their story, and Lord, help us to be people of conviction and of belief. But Lord, also help us not to burn people and alienate people and push people away by the convictions and the beliefs that we have, but instead to be people of grace and to live out our life of faith in a way that brings honor to you, I pray. So help us, Lord, to be people of grace and people of truth, I pray. All in Jesus' name, amen.